The following was at the Frying Pan Meeting, the third Sunday in September 1976. The following was at the Frying Pan Meeting House, the third Sunday in September 1976.
Father and God, we come before thee this morning desiring to worship thee, to lift up thy name above every name that has ever been named, and yet we realize our creature distance. And realize that thou didst say unto thy people and unto us, that if we God is worshipped, it must be in spirit and in truth. For thou dost seek such to worship thee as do worship thee in spirit and in truth. We hope that we're thankful, O Lord, that thou art so ordered in thine eternal decree, that we are gathered together here one more time, where we know that for many, many years prayer has been wont to be made, where thy name has been exalted, and where thy doctrine has been preached and contended for by thy servants and thy people. O Lord, we give thee thanks for the multitude of thy blessings which thou hast bestowed upon us. Pray unto thee to continue to lead us and guide us and direct us, to be in our presence this morning, O Lord, that we might feel thy presence, that we might be lifted up above the things of this time world for a little period of time, and be enabled to remember thy mercies and thy loving kindnesses. And we pray thee, if it is thy will, to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of the things that thou hast promised to us, and of the things that thou hast delivered unto us through thy servants, the apostles. Lord, what a gracious God thou art. How dependent we are upon thee for everything. Everything that we have, everything that we are, everything we shall ever have, everything we shall ever be, we realize it is because of thy goodness and thy mercy unto us. Thou who knowest the needs of each one of us now bowed, we pray thee according to thy will, that thou would grant our desires and our requests. But we pray thee also, Father, to give us patience as we run this race that is set before us. May it be with patience. And may we ever look unto thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. O Lord, remember not only these thy people that are gathered here this morning, but remember thy people throughout the whole world, where they are gathered, O Lord, in thy great name. Put out thy spirit in their hearts, O Lord, and enable them to worship thee in that spirit and in that truth, and to contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast once delivered to thy people. O Lord, give us grace and be with us this day, choosing our changes for us and being with us all the way through this life's journey, for we are so helpless, so needy, so dependent. But thou art a gracious God and promised never to leave us nor forsake us, but would be with us all the way, even unto death. Lord, may thy name have all the praise, the honor, and the glory, now and evermore, we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. feel somewhat, a great deal at loss this morning, my friends and brothers. I don't suppose any of you can really be exercised in the way that I'm so often exercised, and that is afraid. I seem to realize more and more how frail I am and how ignorant I am, and how utterly impossible it is for me to stand before you, brethren, the Lord's people, wherever it may be, and there to speak in his great name. This, my friends and brethren, I have realized for many years is the most sacred place to come. It's a place that no man of himself has ever been worthy to stand before the Lord's people and preach the gospel of the Son of God, preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. But I do know that the Lord is able, not only able, but whenever it is his will, he does and has sent his Spirit into our hearts and enables us to worship him. There's nothing more wonderful than to be exercised of the Spirit of God and to realize that he that inhabiteth the heavens also bows the heavens and comes down to where his people are. Were it not for his loving kindness and his long suffering, my brethren and friends, each one of us realized that we would be today just where we were before the Lord appeared for our help many years ago with many of us. But he has determined before the world began that he will have mercy upon his people, provided for their deliverance from their sins, by sending his beloved Son here into the world for this express purpose, that he should save from their sins all that thou hast given him in that covenant made and ordered and all things ensured. My mind for a little while this morning was on a portion of scripture found in the fourth chapter of 1 John, beginning at the first verse and reading two or three verses. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That's reading the first three verses of the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John. And as I read just a moment ago, a scripture that I was looking for but had not even connected it with what I had read, it was found and I looked it up. I see here it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the places of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, in the 21st verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Somehow, the Lord willing, I see and would like to talk about the connection or the difference, may I say, between the first one that I read when John was speaking to the brethren, beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I don't know whether that it was from my reading in the newspaper, perhaps one day this week, maybe yesterday, where that a great concourse of people advertised everywhere, people pouring from various cities and states into Washington next Saturday, I believe, there to take part in some great, supposed to be great, worshiping of God our Father. Now I know that I have read some things that has been advocated by those who are at the head of this matter, and I failed to see any evidence in what I have read, any evidence that this matter is of God the Father. God does not require that to be such things as they have planned. God has not provided that by these things shall many be brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Because I believe that this is one of those anti-spirits, the things which sprang from Antichrist. Now I've often expressed it, and I still feel that we have no desire whatsoever to try to tell anybody how, or whether to, or in what manner, that they ought to worship God. I know that I hear so much that I cannot say amen to, because I have so often, and I've expressed it perhaps in your presence, so often feel that those who have not been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, that they are led not by the Spirit of Christ, but by the Spirit of Antichrist. And while they do the best they know how, and yet it is impossible for them, it's impossible for us to worship Him just in our natural carnal mind. There must be, and there always is, a work wrought in the hearts of the Lord's people, bringing them out of darkness, which they were in, showing them that time was when they knew not anything at all about the great God of heaven or of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so John writing here, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Those who have been brought out of that darkness that I mentioned, they have been brought forth into a marvelous light. So that, as we quote the apostle, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is the only way God has ordained that His people should worship Him. In worshiping God and preaching and hearing the preached word, we always want to compare that which the Lord has revealed in our hearts when He brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I am one, my brethren, among, I hope, all of you, that realize that we do not know anything of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus unless the Spirit of God is pleased to reveal into our hearts. Yes, He has to reveal into our hearts, because there's nothing in the makeup of our human flesh that enables us to reach out beyond natural things and to behold and to believe and to rejoice in things of the Spirit of God. Each one of you know that there must be, and there always is, a great work wrought by the Spirit of God in bringing His people out of darkness. Now, we are pleased, I'm pleased. Some people may not like the language, but I call that an experience of the grace of God and looking down in mercy upon His people that He chose in Christ before the world began, and yet who of themselves are not even worthy that God should think upon them, much less to have loved them with an everlasting love, and so that He gave His only begotten Son to come here into this world to redeem them from all their sins and all iniquities. Now, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. I've heard upon various occasions when those who apparently, so far as I could tell, were not sincere, not earnest in their calling upon the name of God. So I would bring, if the Lord will open the matter up to me and to you, I would bring these two scriptures together and show the difference between those who really are not exercised and yet have the natural desire or somehow so afraid that there is a God in heaven, so afraid that there is a gracious God that deals with men and women, but they're afraid, they have nothing within their hearts to give them evidence that God is their God. And yet I suppose that in their severe trials, whatever they may be, that they would call upon the name of this God of heaven, when in reality they have never experienced His power, His grace, His mercy, or His long-suffering. And so it is not just merely the attempts to worship God, as we call it, lip worship, but rather it is from the uttermost and inmost recesses of the hearts of God's people that He speaks and gives them grace and brings them out of darkness and into the marvelous light. So that one time we would say, Lord, Lord, when we really knew nothing about it, really had never experienced His mercy. And that's what the writer here, Matthew here, as he quotes Jesus, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's a very plain statement, isn't it? Is not every man that calleth, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now I suppose that in the world of religion, that the name of Jesus is often used. His name is often called upon. But It is not called upon in deed and in truth because of the condition that the person who is calling upon him is such that he feels he has no strength of his own. Because they that call upon the name of God and beg him to have mercy, it is because of the Spirit of God that has already worked in the heart. And so the Lord sends forth his Spirit in the hearts of his people. And he says, believe not every spirit. The only spirit that we know anything about that we believe by the working of his mighty power in us is the Spirit of God working and controlling us, working in the deep recesses of our hearts after that he, God, through his Spirit, has brought us to see ourselves as the most unworthy creatures that ever lived, vilest sinners that has ever lived. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, know something about trying to come before the throne of God, realizing that you need mercy, and sometimes you're shut up and can't even think. I have been shut up so many times and trying to pray. Sometimes it's easy, but in those times when it is easy, the Lord is putting that prayer into our hearts. And I believe that every prayer, real prayer, comes down from heaven, and God puts it into our hearts and he enables us to pray. How easy it is sometimes to pray. How easy it is to pour out your heart's desire before God and to confess your unworthiness and yet beg for mercy. Now, there are people who just name the name of Jesus and they're right ready to go along with anybody that names him. They're ready to go into meetings like perhaps the one I mentioned and will take place, I think, next Saturday. There will be hundreds of thousands of people there, according to the account, that feel like that they're worshiping God. They will worship God. But my brethren and friends, God is worshiped in the spirit of the matter. Not with great excitement. Not with lots of music. Not with lots of talking and frivolous things. But rather the sincere milk of the word that God sends forth through his Spirit into the hearts of his people, making them into desire to come before the God of heaven and to exalt and to praise and to adore his great and holy name. We're not to believe every spirit, because in the name of Jesus, purportedly in the name of Jesus, every foul doctrine that you can imagine is preached. And it is called the gospel of the Son of God. There's so much that is claimed to be the gospel that is positively not the gospel of the Son of God. You know, the apostle described the gospel when he said he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And so, there is a gospel that is social, if you know what I mean. There is a gospel which is of human. There is a gospel which says that man has evolved from a lower order. And they call that the gospel. Many preach, but they call the gospel and will uphold those things. But my friends and my brethren, We're not here for a social gospel at all. We're here if God blesses us to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus and to have no confidence in our flesh. So he says here, believe not every spirit. You know, in the early days, we have an account that there were some among in the church that preached false doctrine, saying that the resurrection was past already. And it disturbed the brethren, disturbed many of them, because they were purported to be in the church and preaching the truth, and yet they denied the resurrection. And the apostle was given to offset every bit of that. When he spoke to them, and just opposite voices, words and language, meaning them. He said, nevertheless, not even though you're disturbed by this false doctrine, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And so, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Well, what are you going to try them by? What are you going to put them up alongside one, alongside the other, as to see whether this is the Spirit of God or the Spirit of men? Believe not every spirit. What you have been taught to the Spirit of God in your very being. If one says that salvation is offered to men, and you know, and every child of God who has been brought out of darkness knows that Jesus Christ has never offered salvation to anybody. And yet men will have us to believe, and this is one of the spirits that we are to believe not. This is one of the spirits that is not of God, but is of Antichrist. Because Jesus Christ came here specifically to do a certain work that the Father sent him to do. And he did that work. He didn't come here to offer men the whole world, because all the doctrines that I know anything about that are contrary to the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, they say that Christ came here and offered salvation to every man. Or that there was sufficient effort it could see. Maybe I can say it. My teeth are a little loose this morning. To say there's a sufficient power in the blood of Jesus when he died upon the cross to save every person that has ever lived, all the Adam family in every age of the world. They say that. There's no truth in it so far as the scriptures are concerned. Because Jesus came to do his Father's will. And his Father did not send him here to offer anything to everybody, but rather to bring salvation unto those that the Father had given him before the world began. And it was to be done by the sacrifice of his own Son, by laying down his life upon the Roman cross. This is the way it was done. I said some time ago, probably here, I don't know, I go to many places, of course. I said that I was taught as a boy that Jesus came to the cross and died upon the cross. And I was told in my school, the Sunday school lessons there, and by those who were talking, that we had to go to the cross. We had to accept and say, Lord, I believe, by going to the foot of the cross, and there the flesh, the nature of men say, I accept, I believe. Brethren, there's no truth to that. Those of you who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, You remember how terrible were those experiences when the Spirit of God had opened up to your understanding that you were the vilest creature, the greatest sinner that ever lived. And more than that, you had tried everything that you thought was possible to do, tried everything that you thought would satisfy the justice of God, and that failed. You found you could do nothing. So it is and was and is in that condition that we are prepared by the Spirit of God to believe the Spirit that God sends into our hearts and brings us out of that darkness and pours out His Spirit into hearts, and we rejoice and are exceedingly glad. This is what you compare the things that you hear on the radio and television. False doctrine. You compare that with those things that the Lord has opened up in your heart. And it would be, one would be directly opposite the other, because one is of the Lord, one is of the flesh of men. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so it is by the Spirit of our God that He puts in our hearts that we are enabled to worship Him. And so I have noticed in some crowds and congregations of people that are not contending, as I understand, for the truth, that they are often there with their heads uplifted, their mouths wide open, swallowing everything that the man says just because he said Jesus said it or the Bible says it. Most of the time when they're so impatient that people won't come on down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's a terrible thing to hear them what to say. If you don't, now the time is getting short. You better hurry up. It may be too late. Brethren, what kind of doctrine is that? Too late. Too late for what? Too late for Jesus to have mercy upon His people? Never, never, never. Too late, my friends and brethren, because it was not in the works of our God, in the purpose of our God, that those who have not been brought out of darkness but are still in the marvel, have not been brought out of darkness, and they still believing that the God wants them to do, God will accept what they do. So believe not every spirit. False spirit will preach false doctrine, always. And the Spirit of God, when God enables His servants to preach truth, they will not preach false doctrine, but they will tell the things that Jesus Christ did, the doctrine of Jesus, the doctrine of the apostles, and will declare that it is by the grace of God that all the children of God are what they are, and that the Father sends forth His Spirit into the heart, and that He puts that matter into the heart and makes them to rejoice. It's not an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor, Jesus said, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not talking to those that are laboring in a natural sense. He's not talking to anybody else except His own people, to whom and before whom He has brought forth the knowledge of their sinners and terrible sinners. And so we look to Him, friends and brethren. We look to Him alone. Because we have tried our own works and they failed us. And we felt the Lord was gone. I remember so well how I felt to realize I needed grace. All my works had failed. And yet I could not feel that the Lord was near. I felt deserted. I felt like I was lost and gone, world without end, and God didn't hear my cry. Have you ever felt that way? If you have felt to be the vilest of sinners, none worthy to be among the brethren, unworthy to be gathered with the saints of God in the meetings, and unworthy to claim a hope in Jesus Christ. If you've ever felt that way, you're in a good way. Because that is the leading. That's the way that the Spirit of God brings His people out of darkness into the marvelous light, by bringing them to see themselves as convicted sinners and hell-deserving sinners. And it is in these things that He reveals that I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so, John said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Not just accept everything. You know, I remember saying sometime that I had seen little birds, baby birds, when their mother or father was feeding them. They would open their mouths, I suppose you call it the mouth, the gills, and they would eat whatever was dropped into the mouth. A lot of people are that way. There's lots of them. Anything, just so it has from the lips of those who are talking the name of Jesus, whether they know anything really about Jesus or not. Yet those that will open their mouths and receive everything and call it the gospel of the Son of God, they're like the bird. They will receive everything that they hear somebody say, just so he puts it as if it were coming from Jesus or from the Spirit of God. But now we are supposed to try the spirits. Try them. To try to destroy a person for what he says, but to weigh the matter from every angle, weigh the matter from the truth that has been opened up and you're taught in your heart. And if it doesn't jibe out, my friends, if that's a good word to use, with the things that you learn when God brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, then you're trying the spirits and don't receive it. Don't receive just everything that has the name of Jesus attached to it. Jesus said, as I read, I'll go back here and read it again. He said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. God so leads his people that he enables them, when he brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light, gives them hope of eternal life. He enables them, by the leadings of his Spirit, to do the will of the Father. Not by the fleshly things of men, not by worldly religion or worldly learning, but by the specific teaching of the Spirit of our God. And so it is said, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it is when we are so taught of the Spirit that we say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm nothing but a vile sinner. I'm not worthy that you should look upon me at all. And yet, Father, I have nowhere else to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life. You remember that this very same thing was said when some of the disciples returned from following after Jesus. And because they did not like, they had not been taught, yet they were following Jesus for one reason or another. Some of them for the loaves and the fishes, of course. And when the doctrine got too hard for them, they left Jesus, and there were some that didn't leave him. And Jesus looked at them, as you remember. He said, Wilt thou go away also? Speaking to his own people, who were disciples indeed. Wilt thou go away also? And the answer was, Peter speaking for them, the answer is the same that each one of us would say if we're given the Spirit of God to understand what we're talking about. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When these things come to us, my brethren, they come with power, they come with force. They come taking away from us all the fears and the tremblings. It seems like that we are made to be conformed to the righteous will of our God, because Jesus has spoken, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, he's not talking about labor in the farm or in the office or somewhere, but who are you laboring, trying to get rid of your sins? "Come unto me, you're laboring and are heavy laden." There's not a more terrible load that we can think about that comes upon the children of God when they're laboring, knowing that they're condemned sinners, and afraid, yes, afraid, no evidence as yet, that God is merciful to them. "But come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's not an invitation, it's a command. So Jesus does not, God does not issue invitations to his people. I give unto you eternal life. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. So these are the wonderful and glorious things that our God does for us. But when you hear, and I know some people that are even among the old Baptists, that apparently some, not very many, but a few that I know, that would hear somebody make a statement and preaching that isn't true. And they'll say, "Wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't it wonderful?" Well, my brethren, that's not trying the spirit. If it doesn't jibe out with what you have in your very breast, in your very heart, to know that it was by the grace of God and grace of God alone that you were brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, that you know that it was by the grace of God and the grace of God alone that you were enabled to walk circumspectly, and never will claim that you can walk circumspectly yourself, because you're always dependent upon the leadings of the Spirit of God to give us grace each and every day that we live. Now, I know, my brethren, I'm scattering about here and not getting very far, but this is a wonderful subject if the Lord opens it up to us. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of our Father, of my Father which is in heaven. And so the Lord knows what you need. He knows what every one of his people need. And when the time comes in the eternal will and the purpose of God, that he shall send forth that spirit into your heart, and you will find and learn what John meant when he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, lest I worry you, my friends, and lest I be worried myself because I realize I'm not having liberty, I shall close, praying that the Lord will have mercy upon us, and that he will continue to lead us and guide us and direct us, and pour out his Spirit in our hearts that we may worship him in spirit and in truth. I've done the very best I could, and that wasn't very much, I realize. May God be with you. You have a hymn on your mind? Let's turn to page 156. Page 156, the only one on the page. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, oh, fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. Let us stand and sing.
Come thou.